In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Monday, March 20th, AD 2017. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Over 100,000 Christians in Myanmar have been fleeing the country for Malaysia recently due to increased violence and religious persecution, according to TRT World. One Christian refugee stated, quote, "Myanmar is not safe for us. They killed people, sent people to jail because of religion," unquote. Important work for the gospel is happening in Kilifi, a Muslim-majority region in Kenya, reports the Christian Post. Michael, a former Muslim-turned-Christian evangelist, came to Christ through a scripture outreach program in Kilifi. Michael now shares the Word of God with his Muslim acquaintances, leading them to the Lord as they are convicted. Truly, the gospel is the power of God for salvation to those who believe. Romans 1:16. The World View spoke with Emily Fuentes of Open Doors about where Christians are being targeted for their faith in China today among the 1.3 billion people who live there.
In general, China's increased persecution is in pockets of the country, specifically in the northwestern Uyghur area, which is a highly Muslim population where there's Islamic extremist attacks, and then in the Tibetan region, and then some throughout the south too, where there have been attacks against churches.
Gulner, a Muslim background believer, is a part of the Uyghur ethnic group in western China, which experiences the worst persecution in the country. Her husband, Alamajan, was imprisoned for his faith in 2009. She's now left to raise their two boys. She shares how she gets through such trials. Quote, "We have joy, real joy. The joy in this difficult situation is real joy. It must be joy from the Lord. Otherwise, how could we endure the hardship?" A man shouting, quote, "I am here to die for Allah, there will be deaths," unquote, was shot dead on Saturday in the Paris Orly airport after assaulting Air Force soldiers patrolling the area. 2 hours before, Zayed Ben Belgassem, the suspected terrorist, shot a police officer in northern Paris. France remains in a state of emergency as attacks over the last 2 years have amounted to 235 deaths. In the case of Roe v. Wade being overturned, Alabama has a plan. The state would automatically become a right-to-life state, according to a new bill. Life News reports the Alabama House passed a constitutional amendment bill last Thursday to protect unborn babies' right to life if Roe was rescinded. The bill still has to pass the Alabama State Senate, as well as voter approval on the 2018 ballot. Speaking at a lawyers' event last Wednesday, Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito referenced his dissent from the Obergefell decision and noted, quote, "A wind is picking up that is hostile to those with traditional moral beliefs," unquote. The political landscape involves many battles, he said, with the most important one being over, quote, "the issue of religious freedom," unquote. Just in the last decade, the number of teenagers claiming to be homosexual has increased by 85%. A 25-year study by the Centers for Disease Control indicates there's an extra 1 million out of America's 16 million high school students who are claiming homosexuality or moving in that direction. Meanwhile, violence, drugs, and suicide have only increased among professed homosexuals. The psalmist warns, "The wicked walk on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men." Psalm 12:8. The New York State Board of Regents plans to drop the academic literacy skills test for prospective teachers. The test analyzes whether a teacher can, quote, "understand and analyze reading material and write competently," unquote. Critics of the test complained that teacher diversity is not high enough, as too many blacks and Hispanics were failing the literacy exam. Today marks 290 years since the death of renowned scientist Sir Isaac Newton. He is remembered for inventing the field of calculus, formulating his famous three laws of motion, and making seminal contributions to the study of light and optics. Newton was also a serious student of the Bible and gave God the glory for his creation. Quote, "The wisest of beings required of us to be celebrated for his actions, the creating, preserving, and governing of all things according to his good will and pleasure." Unquote. And that's The World View in 5 minutes on this Monday, March 20th in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. We want to invite you to join us at the NOAA Conference in Cincinnati, Ohio, on Friday, August 11th and Saturday, August 12th, 2017. We are in a worldview war today, just as Noah was when he was building the ark. The NOAA Conference will equip you to disciple your children in an ungodly generation with the right worldview. Admission to Ken Ham's Ark Encounter is included for your whole family. Register at noaaconference.org. That's noaaconference.org.
Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, as best as we can with a distinctively biblical worldview. Bill Jack in studio with us from Worldview Academy. And today we're going to take a look at CNN and what's happening in television today. CNN is sponsoring a new television program called Believer. Bill, I don't know if you've seen this, but apparently they are reviewing the religions around the world, calling it Believer, and their host is a man named Reza Aslan, and he calls it a spiritual adventure series, which premiered just last Sunday on CNN. And quoting the Buddha, this man Aslan, by the way, is a professing Muslim, this man Aslan likens the religions of the world to different wells which believers dig in order to drink the same water. That is, all religions are equal, many ways to God.
All roads lead to God.
That's right. That's right. All roads lead to God. All roads lead to heaven, nirvana, or whatever your end game happens to be, to quote John Stone Street. Now, apparently, this thing has raised up a fair amount of controversy because Reza Aslan has dug up a cannibalistic cult in India, and he participated in the rite. Now, I don't want to describe all that he did, but this is sick. It's another sick CNN program in which this man Aslan participates in a cannibalistic rite. He's taking something of the brains of a human being. Now, Bill, let me ask you this.
It brings a whole new meaning to, can I pick your brain?
Aslan, you know? Aslan likens the religions of the world to different wells, which believers dig in order to drink the same water.
Does that include...
this cannibalistic religion, which he's digging something out of a human brain.
A human skull.
Yeah. In order to find the same God. So are we equating the cannibalistic cult to the Islam religion, to Hindu religion, and to the Christian religion? By the way, the pushback on this one has not been from Christians. It's from the Hindus.
Yeah,
Because the Hindus find this disgusting. The Hindus don't actually appreciate this particular religion, which apparently is to lead all of us to God, as all the religions are supposed to, according to the CNN worldview.
Yeah.
Bill, this is rather sick. You realize that over the last 2,000 years, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the preaching of the Word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, he has overcome these terrible, terrible cults in which cannibalism, in which human sacrifice, in which some of the most nightmarish things that you've ever read or seen were eliminated by the preaching of the word and by the civil magistrates.
By the shining of the light.
And these demonic,
these things,
these
yes.
demonic cults have worked their way into the darkest corners of this world until CNN and Reza Aslan has dug them up in order to find some of the most demonic, horrible cults ever and equate them to all of the other religions in the world, which apparently is his worldview. Now, is there any humanist out there who says, you know, I draw the line on consuming human brains. I draw the line on human sacrifice.
I draw the line on what the Aztecs were doing in the 16th century when the Spaniards arrived and the Sodomite priests, and by the way, they were exclusively Sodomite, had human blood caked in their hair. And they would sacrifice tens of thousands of human victims, and I won't describe how they did it, because it's some of the most nightmarish, horrific things you've ever seen in your life.
Sometimes but up to 20,000 a day.
To please
the sun god.
These men were engaged in demonic idolatry, and of course they were enslaved to it over the millennia. And thanks to the imposition of the Western gospel, these rites have come to an end, except for a few small exceptions, and CNN has dug them up.
And featured them. Yes.
And glorified them. And sent their leading host into their midst in order to participate in the cannibalism. Be back in just a moment with more on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abortifacient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. We are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. We address the CNN program that aired just last Sunday, celebrating human sacrificing cults and cannibalism. It's all good, many ways to God, including the human sacrificing cults and the cannibalistic rites celebrated by them in India. And, of course, the host from CNN enthusiastically participated as well. And, of course, the modern world, the apostate world, has taken a round-trip ticket back into paganism. We've talked about this a number of times on the Generations broadcast. But remember, my friends, that Jesus' work over 2,000 years will never be undone. That's my projection. The world will never be the same. It will never revert back into the darkness of complete paganism. It will never, ever revert back into what the Aztecs were doing. And they had full license to do it over a period of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. The darkness that reigned over the world over hundreds and thousands of years will never come back again as it was. Why? Because, well, the Apostle Paul speaks of his own testimony when he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus. When we were all fallen to the earth, he said, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, to whom I now send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And that story, my friends, has been told. That story has reached every continent, every corner of this globe. And we're talking about entire nations, entire continents turned around by the light, the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a new book is coming out. And that's coming out in just about a month as part of this ministry. It's a 2,000-year story of the Great Commission and what Jesus Christ has done in the darkest corners of this globe over a period of 2,000 years. That story is to be told, and we want to tell that story as part of the Generations Ministry. That book's coming out in just about a month, so stay tuned. Taking the World for Jesus. Taking the World for Jesus. Give the Lord Jesus Christ some credit for what he's done. And yes, we understand that the apostate CNN's got to dig up some very obscure cannibalistic cult to find some of the worst satanic activities still somewhat extant around the world. But here's Daniel 2:44, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Bill, do I hear an amen to that?
Yes, you do.
Amen.
Yep.
It shall stand forever. The idea that somehow CNN is going to one-up the Lord Jesus Christ, it ain't going to happen, Bill.
No.
It ain't going to happen. All right, let's turn a corner here for this edition of the program. We'd like to address modern culture from a distinctively Christian worldview perspective because, well, so much of our children, so much of our Christian friends, so many homeschoolers are taken by pop culture. Pop culture almost rules today in the Western world because there isn't enough discernment. That's why we've written books on pop culture called The Tattoo Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Say About Pop Culture. Those books are available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. And Bill, we've seen some developments in pop culture over the last 6 months. I'd like to bring these things out. Do you realize out of the last 3 to 4 months in 2017, 4 out of 6 films, major motion pictures in 2017 have been R-rated? That is, the top box office rated films are R-rated films. 4 out of 6 in 2017. It was 1 out of 6 in 2016, 0 out of 6 in 2015.
You know, that's amazing because historically and traditionally, the best films, box office-wise, have always been PG or PG-13 movies.
Yeah.
But you're telling me that that trend has reversed.
It's reversing, yes. As I see it, it's reversing, Bill. The tastes of the millennial generation, the tastes of the modern generation has moved towards the hardcore stuff. People have been acclimated to the hardcore stuff. And the modern American populace is looking for hardcore movies, hardcore language, hardcore violence, and hardcore sexuality. This is where our world has headed for the last 6 months, my friends. 4 out of 6 films in 2017, 4 out of the 6 top box office earning films in 2017, 4 out of 6 were R-rated thus far. If you check out boxofficemojo.com. In 2016, it was 1 out of 6, one of the top 6 box office receipts movies were the R-rated, and then 0 out of 6 0 out of the top 6 in 2015. And Bill, I want to shift also to TV watching. TV watching is moving more towards the hardcore stuff as well. I looked for the top TV offerings for 2016. That is those that were watched more than anything else. And these were the 3 top programs. They pulled off 15 million impressions per day. Bill, that's 105 million impressions per week. Now, again, you're not getting a daily program here. These are just the latest television releases, and people hit these things on a weekly basis. 105 million impressions per week for these 3 programs: Game of Thrones, The Walking Dead, and Westworld. Now, what's interesting about all 3, these are the grungiest, most perverted, most R-rated programs, I think, produced by HBO or produced by any other television production company in the history of television production. All right. These are the grungiest. These are the ones, Bill, that you don't even want to watch the still pictures. Okay. I haven't watched
these films
at
all. I've watched these TV programs.
I'm not familiar
with
any of them.
Well, what happens is that from time to time you get the major media complaining about some controversial element of these programs. They're on the edge. These are the most edgy, most violent, most grungy, most likely to be rated R television programs ever produced in the history of television programming, and they're the ones that are attracting the millennial generation. Some 15 million impressions per day. It's 105 million impressions in a given week for Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, and Westworld. We talked about some of these programs up to this point. We've done a review of some of these programs in the past, but just putting them together now, we're beginning to see that the millennial generation is moving more and more R-rated, certainly for movies, but also for their television offerings. You know, the old sitcoms that would rate something like PG or PG-13, they might have an occasional reference to homosexuality or something like that. They're gaining like 2 million impressions per day, or 1.5, or, you know, not nearly as many impressions as Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, and Westworld. And of course, these have been massively controversial. Also, they're all fairly dystopian, Bill. That's another aspect of these. They're not sitcoms. There's nothing light about them. They're dystopian. The main characters are regularly killed off.
They're very despairing.
That's right. The main characters, the characters you come to appreciate. Now, in the past, the character that was a little more geeky, the character that's a little nerdy, the character that you didn't get along with, you didn't really like very much, he's the guy killed off. Now, what they're doing, the dystopian films or TV productions, is they're killing off the characters that you get to like. The main characters are regularly killed off, creating something of a tension with viewers. That is, they develop something of an appreciation for a character, and then they get used to having their character slaughtered such that they're programmed to appreciate the mass murders that may come to some of the Western nations, including the United States of America. Just remember, friends, that the millennial generation is being programmed by programs, as extremely violent programs. Game of Thrones, known for its sexual violence, and of course, sexuality all the way through it, shot through it, nudity, the whole thing. The Walking Dead is known for its intense violence. In fact, there was a scene from the first premiere of this particular season that was probably the worst violence ever seen in the history of television, perhaps even in the history of motion pictures, close to what you see in some of the blood and gore horror flicks. The B-rated stuff that has come out in the blood and gore stuff. Well, that have now has gone mainstream, and people are watching this by the tens of millions now. Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, and Westworld. Now, they're all dystopian, as I said. And here's some of the quotes out of Game of Thrones, which is by far the most popular television program on air today. Here's some quotes. I want you to listen to this because it's so important to get this in black and white, to read the quotes, to think about it. Pull away all of the visuals, pull away all the music, and here it is. Here's one of the quotes. There is only one God, and his name is Death, and there is only one thing to say to Death: not today. Okay, now we're getting down to the nub of what the—now, if there was ever a Friedrich Nietzsche quote, that would be it.
That would be it. You know, the nation that hates God loves death.
Yeah.
And we're pouring it into our eyes, okay? we stick it in our veins through drugs, and now we're ripping it out of our mother's wombs.
Yeah.
That's the nation.
Culture of death.
Yeah, it's the culture of death.
Yeah. There's only one God, his name is Death, and there's only one thing we can say to death, not today. Friends, it's the whole idea of the nihilism of Friedrich Nietzsche, who finally concludes that we are alone in the universe, there is no God, but just matter in motion, and that's it. So live for today. It's the existentialism that always tips into nihilism. If you want to know something of these worldviews that are permeating the modern world, check out Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, or the worldview curriculum that we put together for 11th to 12th grade kids. It's called Worldviews in Conflict, where they walk through the philosophers and the pop cultural elements of music and movies, so they can analyze these movies and music from this worldview perspective. Well, again, Friedrich Nietzsche is effectively what's coming through the dystopian stuff, and man is walking over the line of despair. This is how Friedrich Nietzsche lives. He lives his life by presenting a nihilistic philosophy And then he goes stark raving insane for the last 7 years of his life. And that, my friends, is what is happening, I think, to tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of people in the postmodern world that has embraced the Nietzschean philosophy hook, line, and sinker. Here's another quote for you, Bill. Death is so terribly final while life is full of possibilities. See, again, there's no afterlife.
Nope.
There's no heaven. There's no hell.
All there is
here
and
now. That's right.
So live fast, die young, leave a good-looking corpse.
That's right.
For you and me, it's too late.
The things we love destroy us every time, lad. Remember that. Boy, if that isn't dystopian, if that isn't negative, if that isn't depressing, if that isn't suicidal and hopeless. Friends, this is the kind of stuff, this is the most popular television program that's feeding into the brains of hundreds of millions of people in the day in which we live. And finally, this perhaps is the most important worldview insight on the television program Game of Thrones. You ready for it? This is it. Here it is. And this is the most significant contrast between the Christian faith and the nihilistic, suicidal junk that you're getting today out of Hollywood. Here it is. Here it is. Here is the final worldview statement of Game of Thrones. Winter is coming. Now, how does that contrast with the Christian world and life view? What do we say? We say winter is coming. Good morning, kids. Have some Cheerios. Winter is coming. Or do we say spring is coming? See, what they're saying is there will be no spring.
Yeah.
There will be no resurrection.
Death is to be celebrated.
This is the absolute denial of the most basic Christian faith that there is. Out of the mouth of the producers and directors and actors of Game of Thrones, winter is coming. And what we say? Spring is coming. As sure as the day follows the night, as sure as the spring follows winter and all the new life with it, resurrection will follow our death. Because the God who brings spring and the God who brings day is the God who brings resurrection life. Now that's a Christian world and life view, as the Apostle Paul says. And again, these apostates know that they have jettisoned the resurrection. These are all ex-Christians. This is what the ex-Christian crowd, this is what the post-Christian crowd does. They know about the resurrection. They know about the 2,000 years of the hope that the gospel of Jesus Christ has given. They know this. Of course they know it. And they contradict it with exceedingly expensive Hollywood productions because they want to drag hundreds of millions of Christian kids into their post-Christian nihilism and their dystopia. But this is what the Apostle Paul says. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Hallelujah. That, my friends, is our faith, and it stands in contradiction to the powerful principalities and powers that are selling a nihilistic, depressing, Nietzschean concept to the hundreds of millions that are tuning into this junk.
You know, you can almost predict that what you're going to see down the road are more Columbine high school shootings like that, as a result of this being poured into youngsters' minds, that there's going to be more suicide, more death, more mass shootings.
Especially when...
because it desensitizes them to the reality of death.
Especially when they're killing off their friends.
Yep.
The characters they've grown to love over the various sequences of these television programs, they're killing them off, and they do it in the absolute most cruelest sense, such that you get used to seeing your friends with their heads severed and some guy with barbed wire wrapped around a baseball bat takes that baseball bat into the head and the kidneys and the stomach and the legs of these people, and they do it in with blood splattering all over, and it's the gore is all over the place. This is what they're doing. They're preconditioning our young millennials to accept this kind of torture and this kind of murder. Yes, the kind of violence we're seeing is a whole different level, and this, again, is not just going to the 200,000 rather warped minds that enjoy the horror flicks that used to come out of the B-rated studios in the 1970s, 1980s, 1990s. This is now mainstream. We're talking about 105 million impressions a week, Bill. That's where things are right now. And moreover, they're not just expressing themselves in this intense violence. They express themselves in just absolute blatant sexual context and nudity as well. Westworld has broken every major TV sex boundary. That's one of these programs. Game of Thrones is number one. Walking Dead is number two. Westworld is number three. Game of Thrones has broken some barriers in sexual violence, but Westworld has broken every major TV sex boundary. That's a mainstream media headline that I picked up recently. Now, I'm encouraging people not to just go in and check out the previews and so forth. I haven't done it myself. I'm just saying, friends, this is probably what your friends are watching, and your friends are probably going to recommend that you watch these things. I'm just telling you, that's the world out there, and I'm giving you the heads up. I've read some of the quotes, giving you something of a sense of the worldview expressed by these programs that aren't just perverted. They're not just walking over the edge of perversion. They're actually coming to the point where they are destroying the concept of human nature, the fact that we were made with some dignity in the image of God, and they're also destroying sexuality at the same time. This is not just a violation of God's system relating to sexuality and perverting it. This is a destruction of it. The perversion itself turns into destruction, and the people that participate in it, they burn out with it, and the 15 million viewers are burning out even as we speak because they're watching this. Now, the nudity and such in Westworld is so bad that according to this recent article, the cast of Westworld has been taken aback by the nudity. The cast itself is taken aback.
These are the participants in the program.
An interview with Business Insider, Leonardo Nam, who plays Felix Lutz on the existentialistic robot drama called Westworld, he said that he's taken aback by just how much nudity surrounded him during the filming. Not only did he have to interact one-on-one with a nude who played Maeve, but he also had to work in a glass environment filled with naked bodies. Truth be told, he said, we also got pretty desensitized after a while.
Yeah.
Plus, when you get down to it, this is their job. Thandi is an absolute professional, Nam said. She's an absolute professional.
Professional what?
We were
nudist?
We were all publicly shamed, but it was, trust us, absolutely professional. These stars have turned themselves into prostitutes, and the whole world gets to shame them. They're shamed. They're shamed in front of the entire world, and yet they're very professional about it.
Yes, yes.
It's very professional.
And I'm sure it was done in good taste.
Professional.
You know, the cannibalism is done in good taste.
Yeah. All very professional. Yeah. Well, this is, of course, a violation of God's laws. This is a violation of the image of God. This is a treading out of the image of God on the screen. And you say, so, well, how does the Christian interact with it? Well, number one, don't watch it. Number two, if you happen to be in some context in which, say, somebody is immodest, somebody perhaps has torn their dress and they have revealed themselves to everybody in a party. What do, Bill?
You turn away.
That's right. You turn away. That's a no-brainer. Why do you turn away, Bill?
Because you don't want to participate in their shame.
That's right. You don't want to embarrass them.
Yeah.
You don't want to shame them. So what happens if somebody winds up naked on a screen? What do? You don't want to shame them. You don't want to shame everybody else around you either.
Yeah.
You don't want to shame the opposite sex sitting around you.
Nor do you want to be carried away by your lust.
Nor do you want to be carried away by your lust, right? So there's a thousand reasons why Christians would come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. And be oh so careful that you don't participate or fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And that's what we've attempted to do on this edition of the Generations broadcast. We don't want fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Hopefully we have not said too much. But we do want to reprove them. We have to reprove them. Why? Because, friends, 15 million impressions, 105 million impressions a week. It's your friends watching this stuff. This is the millennial generation. And that's why I encourage you to the little book called The Tattooed Jesus, What Would the Real Jesus Do with Pop Culture? It's a little book I put together on how to discern movies, how to analyze movies, how to analyze music, how to analyze pop culture so you won't be taken by it. I'd encourage you to the book, The Tattoo Jesus, at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.